Let us pray together. Our gracious Lord, once again, we thank you and we praise you for your great kindness that is revealed in us minute by minute, second in second. We thank you for your great mercy and love to us. We thank you for the life you gave us. We acknowledge that you are Creator of heaven and earth, things seen and unseen. You are full of wisdom, which we cannot comprehend. So, Lord, our God, forgive us all our sins and come down to bless us and to speak to us through the mighty power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, bless each one of us, we pray, in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My subject this afternoon, this evening, is about a command given to believers, and it is found in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And the title is Be Strong, a Command to Believers. So the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 said this: Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So this is a command, and I want to bring a few messages from this, maybe a little bit shorter than the morning one, but I want to first of all mention about the background of the command. When you see the book of Ephesians from chapter 5 onwards, particularly from chapter 5, verse 21, you can see Apostle Paul is exhorting the people of Ephesus in the church at Ephesus, saying, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. And he continued to exhort husbands and wives, how husbands and wives should live according to the word of God. I'm not going into the depths of it. It is too deep to say it in this particular moment. And he continued again in chapter 6 about children and parents. And he said, chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So he exhorted children, and then continued to exhort fathers. And verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So he's exhorting a group of people, husbands and wives, then children, then fathers to children. And he continued exhorting servants as to live workers, you can say, live obedient life to their masters. And he came to verse 9 and mentioned, and ye masters. So every area of social contact and social activities are mentioned, and he exhorted Christians, believers, to live according to the word of God. And after finishing that, when you come to verse 10, he opened amazing statement. In fact, it continues up to verse 18, but I'm not going, I don't dare to go to that line because it is so vast. And in verse 10, he says, finally, this finally is a kind of bringing him to a conclusion at last. For the rest of things that are mentioned. So he's coming to a kind of conclusion. Of course, it is a conclusion. So then in his conclusion, he mentioned all of them. He mentioned each group, husbands and wives, children, fathers and servants and masters. And now all people are exhorted, if you like, commanded by the Apostle Paul in verse 10, by this following this word, particular word, finally. And he said, my brethren, all of you, believers in Christ, with no distinction, men and women. This is a generic kind of mentioning all believers. So you may be a Jew from your background, or a Gentile from your background, but you, all of us, are brethren in the Lord. So he came to that particular point, and straight away he says, be strong in the Lord. So this is the focus of my message. This is a command. My first point shows that this is a needed command. I say the needed command. It is the needed command. It is not only a needed command. It is the needed command. Be strong is a command. It is imperative mode in the way of grammatical way of putting it. And we all of us need a strength. I'm sure you will agree with me. We need strength. No one in this entire world says, I don't need strength. We need strength. The strong number that is written for be strong is 1743, and it is in dunamo, meaning in due strength. Be provided with strength. Be strengthened. Increase in strength. All this can describe this particular word that is presented here as a command. So the other things I mentioned are exhortations. In fact, there is a slight difference between exhortation and a command. A command in Greek and in biblical language is not option. It cannot be an option. It should be accomplished, because the command originated not from human imagination. It originated from the very wise and all-knowing God, our God. So believers need strength. They have to be strong. We need strength in our spiritual life. Spiritual life need to be strengthened to live according to the word of God. There are so many things in the world we are living now. Pastor was mentioning about Wednesday message. So many people in this world want to be driven by their emotion or sensual feeling. But the word of God made it clear that we must get our strength not from our senses. It must come from somewhere else. I will discuss it. We need strength. Believers need strength to accomplish their responsibilities. We have responsibilities as believers, and also to stand and go through difficult times. When we get difficult times, ups and downs, probably sickness, probably some sort of temptation, we need strength. Strength is essential. That is very, very important for Christian life. This is especially true for at least three important areas of our life. This is spoken time and again by so many preachers, and I need to repeat it again. So the first one, three important areas of our life is, I mentioned A, strength is needed because of our corrupt nature. We have a corrupt nature. We are all born corrupt in sin. And there is a tide of corrupt nature coming within us from time to time. It is sad to be a human being from time to time. When you think the corrupt nature come as a tide and try to control you and to drag you down to the way of sinfulness, and at any time this corrupt nature can come in us, and there is no one in this entire world, being human, who can withstand this corrupt nature. So we need strength because of our corrupt nature. We may struggle with bad habits. Bad habits? Possible. Many people have bad habits. And these bad habits tries to draw us into spiritual weaknesses and even to worldliness. The time we live and the world we live is a consumer's world. People tend to be consuming everything which is important and not important, which they have, and which is amazing when you see the fashion industry and so on. So people are tempted by worldly affections. We need strength to root it out and stand in faith. God always requires us to be holy because he is holy. And as he is holy, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15, 16, the Apostle Peter mentioned God is holy and we should be holy in all our conversations, in all our manner of our life. Therefore, we need have power and strength of the Holy Spirit to fight against our corrupt nature, which is always disturbing us, probably annoying us. And the second one is we need strength because of the world and its enmity against us. The entire world stands against God because of the fall of humanity. When I say world, you understand, it doesn't mean the rocks and the things that are made, the physical things, but it is a system itself that is attacking against the truth of our Lord. It is attacking God and his people, and it is our another enemy. So it is fighting us day and night. So this fight comes to us, and this fight comes against believer, fighting us relentlessly with hatred, marginalization. I was watching one video. I was telling to Brother David Tunis a video called The Privileged Planet Earth. It is made by intelligent design follower people. And one of the men that speaks in that the Privileged Planet video was a scientist, a scientist of the universe, astronomer. And he wrote a particular statement in his scientific journal by saying that he's not a believer, but he wrote in his journal that this entire universe, as I understand it, must come from intelligent designer. Then because of that statement, he lost his job. So this world is against us, marginalizing us. Its threat and its persecution is beyond imagination. How can we face this hatred against us? And not only hatred, the world fights us with its alluring temptation of wants, feeling to want something and the other thing and the other thing. And there is continuous temptation. I mentioned earlier material wants, fashions, wants of unnecessary things, and so on. It uses unbelieving friends and family members who are not unbelieving to try to persuade us to live just like them. So this world is our enemy, and in order to stand against this our enemy, we need to be strong in our spiritual life. So spiritual and divine strength is needed to fight against it and to stand faithfully in our faith before our God. The third one, which can use these two particular enemies or problems that we can face is Satan. So we need strength because of Satan and its evil attacks. Satan is opportunistic. He wants to use these two things, sinfulness, our sinfulness nature, and also our ambition and the lust of this world, the lust of the eye, and the lust of materialism, and so on. He uses them, and he uses them to attack us. So he is our enemy, and he is definitely the enemy of our Lord. He wants us to deny our Savior and follow him, Satan, for our soul's destruction. He combines his forces in order to attack us, directs them to distract us, and he is always doing this. When you can read this particular passage we are reading, Ephesians chapter 6, you can see verse 11, verse 12, verse 13, and verse 16. I wrote them here. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." So the devil is mentioned there. He has his wiles, attacks, always throwing against us to persuade us against the will of the Lord. In verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." This is not easy. So the Christian life is in a battle. And the battle is not just with flesh and blood, but it is a battle against a powerful enemy, Satan, his power and his tricks and his wise way of doing things to persuade us against the belief that we have in the Lord for our destruction. Verse 13, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day." This evil day is the day that the devil is working, and having done all, to stand. So verse 16 also mentions like this, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So we are in a battle. And the battle is beyond our natural ability. Because of this battle, which is beyond our natural ability, we need strength. That's why the Apostle Paul said strongly and in a strong command way, be strong, be strong. You need to be strong because of your corrupt nature, because of the enmity of the world, and because of the formidable enemy, Satan. I did mention in the first one, we need strength because of our corrupt nature. I read many, many years ago a particular book written by one Christian man, The Enemy Within. I don't know whether you read it. The enemy within. So the enemy within is our corrupt nature. It is a strong enemy, and the world is our strong enemy. Satan is our strong enemy. So we need to be strong to withstand with these three enemies we have in our Christian life. The next point I want to mention is, after mentioning all of these things, my second main subject is, the strength is only possible in the Lord. Our strength is possible, but it is not possible in us. because there is nothing in us that can withstand with these three formidable force we have. The reason is we are sinful in our nature, and all that strength that should strengthen us, the glory of God, the life of God, the true relationship with God is gone because of our sinful nature. So our strength is only possible in the Lord. When I say this, I should read again the first statement that is written here in Ephesians 6. The Apostle Paul says, be strong, and he continued, in the Lord, not in yourself, because you have no strength of your own, not in somebody else. There is no one that is going to help you. So it is only in the Lord. This command is needed because a Christian has no strength in himself. When we looked closely to the command that is, be strong, the Apostle Paul mentioned in the Lord. If Christian be strong by himself, why should he be commanded to be strong in another? So the reason why we are commanded to be strong in another is because we are not strong in ourselves. We are weak. We must believe this. But many people want to say or to think or to be seen strong while they are not. Many people, this is the fashion of the world. I am strong. I can be strong. Have your confidence in yourself. This is the psychological saying that is going on and on. Even in my country, this psychological mind manipulation. Have confidence in yourself. Be confident in yourself. We need some kind of confidence in ourselves. But the strength here should come not from us, not from our confidence, not from our imaginations, but it must be from our God. It must be in the Lord. So the strength we need is not human or worldly one. It should be divine. There is no area of our life that doesn't need the strength of the Lord. So every area of our life needs the strength that should come from our gracious and wonderful God. We need his strength to pray in a practical way. We need his strength to read and even to understand his message. Unless we get the divine help to understand the message of God, it can be like any other book. So we need his strength. We need his strength to know and wait our glorious hope of eternity. We have glorious hope in heaven, and that glorious hope is wonderful hope. And there is nothing to hope in this world. Everything is decaying, everything is changing, everything is always fails in its promises. So we need strength to cling and to stay in the glorious hope of our eternal God. The reason I say, the reason the Holy Spirit is given to us is because we need strength. Some people in the charismatic circle want to believe and to persuade people that Holy Spirit is given for happy-clappy or for sensualism and for emotional uplifting, and when they go out, it's not there. Holy Spirit doesn't do such a thing like that. But the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune God, is our help. He indwells in us by faith, and he helps us even to pray and to understand and to live according to the word of God, ordering our life and knowing him and his guidance in our life. So the strength, when the apostles say, be strong and continues in the Lord, it seems paradoxical, but it is true. We don't have our own strength, our strength must be in the Lord. And the third point I want to mention here is, it is in the might of his power. The Apostle Paul continued and said, be strong, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So, be strong in him, in the Lord, and continued to show that in the power of his might. So, in the Lord, in his person, in his grace, in his doing things, and then in the might of his power. It is truly amazing, I say, to be a Christian. Though we are weak, though we are poor, and though we have no strength in ourselves, but we have a promise to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The apostle goes further in mentioning that your strength should be in the power of his might. I think when I want to mention this, I think there is no word to explain this particular saying or phrase. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It is beyond my comprehension. The power of his might, what it is. It is the power of the Almighty God. It is the might of the Almighty God, all-knowing, omnipotent God. It's amazing. He is referring to that mighty power of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the creator of the visible and invisible things. And the Lord Jesus Christ, at the final time after resurrection with his disciples, he came to them in Matthew 28, verse 18, and he said to them, all power in heaven and in earth is given to me. So all power, when the apostle mentions in the power of his might, this all power is in his hand. His mighty power is non-comparable with the power we know in this entire universe. He sustains, he guides, he wisely controls everything, even the pandemic coronavirus. It is under his control. There is nothing out of his control. It can be out of the control of humanity and knowledgeable people and powerful nations, but it is not out of the control of our God. That's why in Colossians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul again mentioned all visible and invisible things are created by him and also for him. So he uses them. And while in the world, in flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ, whenever he is presented with the disease disappears before himself. And he opened the blind eye. How can you imagine? People were amazed when that born blind man was healed. He told him, go and wash and come. And he went and washed and came seeing. This is amazing. And he himself, that man himself said, from the beginning of the world up to this present time, we haven't heard anything like this. The power of Jesus Christ is amazing. So when the Apostle Paul mentions this, I think he envisioned all the power of the mighty of the Lord Jesus Christ that is found in him. Creation, living and non-living things, all natural law obeys him because he is powerful and mighty. Creation and angels serve him. It's amazing to understand this power of our gracious and mighty Lord. So your strength should come and should be in him. Being in him and being strong in him is not only amazing, but sustaining us to live a godly, holy, and obedient life that honors his name and the faith he gave us as well. So In this difficult time, when people's power and hope is crumbling down, we can be strong in the Lord. Be strong in Him and in the power of His might. So when we be strong in Him, He can make us more than conquerors. As it is written in Romans chapter 8, verse 37, being in Him, we can be conquerors. I saw many years ago, I saw a clip of video on internet. And that clip of video is amazing. It is in a zoo where people are seeing animals. And there is one animal, a special animal, in one of the cages. And it is a cobra snake. And people were watching the cobra snake in its cage. And some people brought a nasty mice and throw it in the cage. And that nasty mice was face to face with that big and powerful snake. And it was looking to the eye of the snake. And the snake was looking down to the eye of the mice. And people were watching what is going to happen. And as they were watching, the mice turned around and went to the top of the head of the cobra, and it killed him in front of the people's eye. And I thought, this must be like a Christian, because a Christian is facing this formidable enemy, the snake, the dragon, Satan, and this world, and our corrupt nature. But it will never defeat us if we are strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, and you can be, if you are be strong in the Lord, you can be more than conquerors. And my final concluding statement, point is the purpose of the command. Paul mentioned various duties of Christians. I mentioned them from chapter 5, verse 21, to chapter 6, verse 9, various duties, husband and life, the duties of husband and the duties of wives, and the duties of children, and the duties of fathers, and the duties of servants and masters. But are Christians able to accomplish all these duties? Yes, they should accomplish all these duties. They can accomplish if they are strong in the Lord. So we need pastor need to accomplish his duty as a pastor of the church, and for that he needs the strength of the Lord and every responsibility we have. So he is showing us the reality of the battle. Albert Barnes, I want to quote here what he said in his commentary upon these verses. He said, Paul knew that in the discharge of their duties, they would need strength from above. He knew that they have great and mighty force, and that to meet them, they needed to be clothed in the panoply of Christian soldier. He closes therefore by exhorting them to put on all the strength which they could meet the enemies with which they had to contend. And in the commencement of his exhortation, he reminds them that it was only by the strength of the Lord that they could hope for victory. So to be strong in the Lord is, he says, one, to be strong or courageous in his cause, and two, to feel that he is our strength and to rely on him and his promises. This is what Albert Barnes says about the purpose of this command. So the purpose of this command shows us the reality of the battle. There is a battle. And two, it shows us where and from whom we can get our strength. That is, from the Lord and from the power of his might. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we need the strength of the Lord. And to be strong, we need to rely on him, on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be strong, we need to rely on his power and his might. To be strong in our Christian walk, we need to have our confidence on him or in him, not on ourselves. To be strong, we need to trust all his promises. To be strong, Christians, we need persistence in prayer and to be found in him. So be strong, Christian. Not on yourself, not in your smartness, not in your knowledge, not in your achievements, but be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is the purpose of the command. May God bless us and give us strength in this time and age we are living. Let us close with short prayer. Let us pray. Our gracious Lord, we thank you again for your great kindness and wonderful comfort you are giving us time and again. We thank you for this particular needed command. You commanded all believers from the time of the Apostle Paul throughout the entire Christian history. O Lord, our God, we know that we are not strong in ourselves. Help us to be strong in yourself. Help us to be strong in the power of your might. Help us to be strong in this evil and corrupt generation and day. O Lord, we put our trust on you for all these things to come into our life and lead a holy and true Christian life as we live in this world. We ask this in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen.